I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. What a blessing and what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. It's good to be able to announce that God is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We give praise and we give thanks to our Almighty God for his bountiful blessings upon and toward each one of us. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. One more time. If you don't mind, just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad too. To be in the house of the Lord. One more time. To my friend and my brother, Dr. Ricky Freeman, and to his lovely and beautiful wife and his family, we thank and praise God for you and your service here at the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, Third Baptist Church, for these past 11 years. And I need not tell Ebenezer, just only echo what has already been said. You have the second greatest pastor in the nation. And I thank and praise God that he and I have been friends down through the years, as a matter of fact, for 30 plus years. And our friendship and relationship have been growing. To the officers of this church and to all of the leadership, spiritual leadership of this congregation, I greet you in the mighty, matchless, and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm just glad to be in Texas one more time. I learned when I come to Texas, the Texans do big things. And it is obvious as I look around the landscape of Ebenezer Baptist Church. And thank God that he has favored you and he is blessing you. And I think I feel safe in saying that eyes have not seen nor ears have heard what our mighty God has yet in store for Ebenezer. I'm so thankful, and I have a worshipful spirit right now after listening to this great choir and as they have ushered us into the very presence of the Lord. And to listen to Pastor Frenchantil, to listen to her. If I could sing like that, I wouldn't have to preach. Thank God for the gifts that he puts into human personality. And we thank and praise God today. Congratulations again, Dr. Freeman, for your labor of love here at Ebenezer. Now, I normally preach for an hour and a half. But if you say amen, we can cut that down to 20 minutes. It sounds like you want 15. God bless you. It's been 10 years since I've been here. I remember coming for Pastor's first year anniversary. And what an awesome time we had. Such a sweet smelling spirit and an aroma that passes and circulates around this place. And I'm just grateful to be back again. And it took me 10 years to get back. And I said, I must not have done something right the first time that I was here. But I went back and I corrected it. And I'm back again. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Freeman, for having us to come back again. Thank you, Reverend Spears, for your introduction on this morning. Amen. Well, I want to call your attention this morning to The theme passage of scripture that you have selected, and with God's help, we would give my three little points, and I will sit down. Amen. Thank you for the hospitality of Sister Freeman and Reverend Freeman. Thank you for your hospitality over the weekend, the comfort that you provided for us, and the food that you prepared for us. And I will go back to the gym when I get back home. You know, thank you so kindly. Thank you so kindly. If you would, please, if you would just turn with me to the epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I would like to read beginning at verse number 2 and end my reading at verse number 5. Apostle Paul writes these words from the King James Version of the Bible. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I want to talk for a few moments, if you please, from this subject matter, anchored in the three greatest things in the world. Anchored in the three greatest things in the world. Shall we pray? God, our Father, we give ourselves to you now. We pray that you would give strength and power to this fleshly flawed body. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would think with our mind and speak with our tongue. God, we pray that you would bless every person who has ears to hear. We pray, God, that you would arrest us. We pray that you would strengthen us. We pray that you would enlighten us. And then, God, we pray that each of us would be ready to run with swift feet away from this place to put your word into practice. Bless us now, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor is already thine. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Anchored in the three greatest things in the world. When I survey this passage of scripture written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul had a great love for the people of God. I need not belabor the time to introduce to any of you who the Apostle Paul is. We all know him. We are well acquainted with him. And when you get a word, when you receive an epistle, when you receive a letter from the Apostle Paul, or whenever he speaks positively on your behalf, you can trust that he tells the truth. The Apostle Paul writes this letter because he had observed something about not the Thessalonian church, but he had observed something about the Thessalonian Christians. You are aware, as much as I am, that the building itself is not the church, but the church is the people. This is the first time that the Apostle Paul uses what was to become one of his favorite triologies: faith, love, and hope. And these three are found together in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul shows how they sustain us in times of trouble. somebody knows. Someone has lived long enough. Some of us have walked long enough with the Lord to know that faith, love, and hope has sustained you in your journey and journey walk with God. Not only do we find this triology in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, but we also find this triology in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Faith is tied to hope and to love in special ways in Colossians 1 and 3. We also find this triology mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. This triology is mentioned by Paul there. Faith, love, and hope. They are set forth as the basis for a mature Christian life. In the midst of his lengthy discussion, we find this triology also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. But the greatest of all that he mentions in that passage, he says, the greatest of these is love. Several years ago, while I was navigating my way along with my platoon in the Middle East in a place called Vietnam, and as we navigated our way through unfamiliar territory and in fear that we wouldn't find our way back, our platoon leader led us and reminded us and encouraged us to place markers along the way. And as we placed trail markers along the way, it was to remind us and it was to direct us and it was to help us to find our way back in case we got lost. When we wasn't sure of our way, we located the trail marker. How reassuring it is, my brothers and sisters, that for each of us, one was at crucial times, and when crucial times did come, and when we was not sure of our way back, thank God for the trail markers. And I've long since then come to think of faith, love, and hope as an indispensable trademarker. It's a trademarker of my Christian journey. Sometimes the way is quite clear, and other times the route is obvious. But often in life we find ourselves uncertain. Let me correct that statement. Often in life, I find myself uncertain. Sometimes I find myself confused. Anybody else in here have been there? And sometimes we just don't know which way to turn. And when we need to pause until we locate faith, love, and hope. Those are the three trail markers that I want to talk about for a brief moment this morning in this text. The Apostle Paul here, he points to the first trail marker by giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians. What did he give thanks to God for? He didn't give thanks to God for a new house. He didn't give thanks to God because they perhaps drove a brand new car. He didn't give thanks to God for their materialistic possessions. But Paul gave thanks to God for the Thessalonian Christians' work of faith. It's found there in verse number 3. What a blessing to be able to give thanks not only to them, but to give thanks to God. What a good report to make to the Lord on the behalf of the people of God, that they are functioning in an area of faith. He uses here a Greek word for faith, ergon. And ergon is a Greek transliteration for work of faith. Faith is not an intellectual exercise. Work of faith has the sense of vocation as over against the sense of toil and labor. That's why the scripture says we walk by faith. We live by faith. We act in faith. Faith is a vocation, and it is not an intellectual exercise. Paul says to them, in remembering how you fully understood that faith is a lifestyle. Amen. That's why I said earlier, we walk by faith. Faith is our vocation. It's a lifestyle and not an intellectual. Faith as a vocation, my brothers and sisters, it means that you and I, you don't only accept the potential joys. You not only accept the potential rewards in this life, but we also accept the responsibility for potential problems, conflicts, and struggles. It doesn't matter how saved you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It does not exempt any one of us from the conflicts of trouble. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've had some trouble. I've had some good days, and I've had some bad days. But faith has taught me that out of all of my good days and out of all of my bad days, I've learned not to complain. Simply because we understand that we don't live life on a horizontal plane, but we live life on a vertical plane. Each day of your life, each day of my life, as children of God, as Christians that we are called, we live on a vertical plane, because every day, every step, every hour, every week, every month, every year of our life, as we move forward, we are moving upward. And as we move forward and upward, it also indicates that we are moving onward. Isn't it a blessing to know that there is something greater and better on the other end? Isn't it a blessing to know that there is something better and greater after this life? Faith moves us every day from that which hurts us and pains us and causes us to be frustrated as we work and walk in faith. Faith moves us toward God. My brothers and sisters, if living in this life, being blessed, having things, having stuff, and interacting and having pleasure from time to time, if that is all that life consists of, then for me, life is most miserable. But I'm thankful to the Lord that he didn't just call us unto himself, amen, in order to bless us with materialistic things, but he called us unto himself in order that he might not only impute righteousness unto us, but that he may move us through life as we know it in faith. And I'm glad about it. Paul says, in remembering these Thessalonians, that's what I remember you in prayer, and give thanks to God for each one of you. What is it that we can give thanks to God for with Ebenezer? What is it that I can give thanks to God for about Greater New Hope? Not all of the earthly, mundane, and materialistic accomplishments. All of that is well and good. But what about your faith in God? That's what Paul says. He said, listen at him again. He says, I give thanks to God always in prayer for your work of faith. And one can only do this, as Paul has described it. One can only do this when they are anchored in the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but God's Word is powerful. The Roman writer reminds us in Romans 1 and 16, he said, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. All that we do ought to emanate from the word of God. As a matter of fact, I without contradiction or fear, I report to you today that that's the work that the Lord blesses, is that which emanates from his word. So Paul says, not only do I give thanks to God for your work, praise the Lord, you are anchored. Paul says, I see it. I know of it. You are anchored in the word of faith, in the word of God. All right. But he says, not only do I give thanks to God for your work of faith, Paul says there is another marker here. Paul says, I give thanks and praise to God for your labor of love. For work of faith, Paul produces and introduces the second trail marker. He says, your labor of love. When I looked at that and when I thought about that and when I tried to pick that apart, what is Paul trying to say? Your labor of love. Because all of us have a different definition of the word love. Some of us love only when we are loved back. Some of us love if a person is doing what I want them to do and doing it the way I want it done. Some of us love as long as nobody cross me. Some of us love as long as no one go against my grain. But that's not the kind of love that Paul is talking about. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But when Paul talks about, I thank God for your labor of love, this mile marker, the labor of love, as we wrongly tend to think faith as an intellectual matter, so we are inclined to regard love as a matter of feeling. And you know, love does have feeling, but that's not the love Paul is talking about. My mom and daddy, they had the love of feeling. And 9 months later, I showed up. Love does have feelings, but that's not what Paul talks about. Feelings change. But the love Paul talks about in this text, he uses another Greek word. And the Greek word that Paul used for love is koupos. And this word translated, it means work as toil and hard work. It's the kind of labor that produces fatigue and exhaustion. Let me say that one more time. As a believer, we got to have the kind of love that produces fatigue and exhaustion. This becomes clear when we understand the full meaning of the word Paul uses here. Paul uses this word love. It's agape love. And agape love, he says, he intentionally uses this word for it defines a quality of love. And it defines a quality of life that is more of a matter of acting than feeling. Talk to me if you can. I got about 15 minutes to go. If you give me a couple of amens, I'll get through here. Love that Paul talks about is not about feeling. You know, we act on our feelings. We move on our feelings. Sometimes we serve on our feelings. I don't feel like going today. I don't feel like doing today. I can remember many days, and I remember many days even now in my pastorate. There are many days I did not feel like going to work. But going to work for the Lord is not predicated upon feelings. Paul says it's a matter of intentional love. Somebody here know about that intentional love. Paul speaks not about this emotion, but it's intentional. You do know that God, he agape loved us. God intentionally loved us. Listen to the Roman writer when he said, while we were yet sinners, He said Christ died for the ungodly. That's an intentional love. When you and I got saved, God, he adopted us into the royal family of God. That was intentional love. When I got saved, God imputed his righteousness unto us. That was his intentional love. Look at the love of God when he calls you and I saints of God. That's because of his intentional love. Wait a minute. Have you thought about it lately? If you've read that passage of scripture where God called you and I saints of God. Let me survey real quick. Do any of you look like saints? But it's not based and predicated upon how you look, but it's based upon the love of God. And I come to learn that God calls me a saint. You may call me a few other things, but God calls me a saint. And he calls me a saint, not because of Howard, but he calls me a saint because he has me covered. And he looks at us through the personage of his son, Jesus the Christ. What a love. That's what Paul talks about in this text. God loves us intentionally. And I'm glad that he not only loves us intentionally, but his love never ceases. God loves us always with your bad self, with your hypocrite self, with your lying self, with your no tithing self. God still loves us. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to holler like that. That's the kind of love, and I'm thankful today. You know, I find encouragement from day to day, not from without, but from within, knowing that God loves me unconditionally. Paul looks at the Corinthian Christians and he says, that's what I'm thankful for. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all putting this thing into practice. You're not talking it. But you're feeling it, and it's on the inside of you. Surely, if one cannot have a work of faith without being anchored in the Word of God, surely we cannot labor in love without being anchored in the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, I hasten to tell you and to remind you this morning that our work for God has to be done in love. And not only the work of God, but our interacting with one another, we need to learn how to love each other unconditionally. If you don't mind, you can whisper to the person, because there's something wrong with all of us. I know you may have your yacht, you may have your tri-level and bi-level, and you may live up in the hills and on the mountaintop. Doesn't matter. There's something wrong with all of us. Now that I've said that, Lord, let me bring it home a little bit. There's something still wrong with me. But the love of God still is shed abroad in my heart. So if it takes that, anchored in the Word, knowing what the Word of God says, not suggestions, not what he or she says, but what does God says. Would not our community be better? Would not our churches be better? Would not our nation be better if we was more concerned about what God says than what people says? A love anchored. May I challenge you at this point this morning, do you have this agape love in your heart? Paul says, not only do I give thanks and I pray in my prayers for you because of your work of faith, but he says, I also give God thanks for you for your labor in love. But he says, lastly, I give thanks to God in this verse 3. I give thanks to God for your patience of hope. Paul plants the third trail marker here. I think we find in our way back home. He plants the third trail marker here. He says, I thank God for your patience of hope. The opposite, hope is the opposite of despair. That there is a good reason to believe that, that despair is at the root of many types of physical and mental illnesses. Staying in touch with current events, brothers and sisters, I read the printed news now more than the television news. The television news starts with the most dramatic murders, the most rapes, the most crimes, and the more of the spectacular fires that have broke out and all of the incidents around the country. If you stay in the television, television will cause you to lose your hope and your faith. And television will cause you to become despaired because it has nothing but bad news. But staying in touch with that, I tell you that's not the answer or the solution, but I tell you what is the solution. If you have a steady diet of television news, that's the pathway to despair. How does one find hope in the midst of all of the bad news? How do you find hope? How do the young, does the young generation find hope? How does the entire generation find hope in the midst of despair? I pray that you do agree with me. What we really need in society now is hope. People are giving up. Many Christians are throwing in the towel. Many preachers are throwing in the towel and walking away, not from the church, but from the faith. If there's anything we need is genuine hope. That's bad news. It bombards us. But I'm glad that there is some good news. I'm glad that we have good news to report today, that there is hope. And there's a place and there's one whom we can find hope in. I'm glad you asked the question. Where do we find this hope? Can't find much good things coming from too many places. Where do we find this hope? I don't know about you, but I want it. I desire it. I need it. And as quiet as it may be, you need it too. And if we're going to move along on this elevated plane toward glory, we need to have a spirit of hope. Many of us, we search for hope through escapism. We search for hope through diversion. We search for hope through pleasure, but that's not the avenue. But the patience of hope that Paul mentions in this text to the Thessalonian Christians, it is a hope in Jesus. It's a hope that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you just substitute the word hope for the word heart, and you have a good definition of what hope is, because hope is where your heart is. Can I ask you a question? Don't tell nobody the answer. Where is your heart? If your heart is in Christ, or if Christ have your heart, you can live a life of hope. That's why none of the escape routes, ignorance, pleasure, diversion, financial security, they do not produce enduring hope. But hope must be rooted in reality. Hope must be lived out in service to others. And it must be secured from moth and rust and robbers who break through to steal. How then does one find hope in the midst of the realities that surround us? And I think this is where the Lord wants me to tell you and go to my seat. Where do I find it? Where do we find it? In the midst of the disparities that surrounds us. Here it is. Are you listening? It's found by being spiritually anchored in the Word of God. I heard David say once, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Being anchored in the word of God, it's God's word. It's God's word that he set forth a claim that is either stupendous or preposterous. Here is found in Jesus Christ alone. That's where it is. I'm sorry if that wasn't deep enough for you. But that's where it is. In Jesus Christ alone. That's where it is. One more time. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. I know people who have everything that life can afford and everything that money can buy, but they are most miserable individuals. It's simply because something is missing from their lives. There's something that money cannot buy. Something that political power cannot vote in. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to report that I got it. Amen. And I live every day in the frame of mind like the Apostle Paul. He said, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. I'm all right with God if I have it, and I'm all right if I don't have it. Because you'll find no greater joy than the joy of Jesus. Paul says, finally, he says, he reminds them of this claim that we have in Christ Jesus alone. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul says, for the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, he says, who are being saved. Paul says, this gospel is the power of God. That's how I want to live. I want to live knowing that I possess the power of God. So it doesn't matter what I encounter. Doesn't matter what you encounter. If the power of God is within you, you can overcome it. If the power of God is within you, it may be a mountain, but he'll help you to tunnel a way through it. And if he don't help you to tunnel a way through it, he'll make your feet like hind feet. You'll be able to climb over it. And if you can't climb over it, he'll build a highway around it. The power of God. If the power of God is within us, it ought to make us complain less. As a matter of fact, I go beyond that. We ought to be telling the devil, give me the best you got. Put it in my way. I don't care what you put in my path, devil. Come on, Satan. Give me your best shot. Give me your best shot, because power needs to have opposition. There's no need of you having power and nothing to work it on. But if you got the power of God, it doesn't matter what gets in the way. Because having power is having Jesus. Having power is knowing that Jesus is on board of the ship of your life. You do remember, don't you, when the disciples was out on the seashore sailing across the lake. You do remember, don't you, that they encountered a storm. And you do remember they tried to bring the boat under safety according to their own human power. But they forgot that the power source was on board. Where was it? I don't see him nowhere around. Storm is raging. We're about to go down and we're about to go under. Where is Jesus? Well, Jesus is teaching you a lesson. You can sleep in the midst of a storm when you know you have the power source available. Peter says, someone said, go down there and wake Jesus up. We've done all that we can do. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, when you've done all that you can do, you should have beforehand turned it over to Jesus. But even if you didn't turn it over to him earlier in your life and circumstance, it's never too late to turn it over to Jesus. Bible says when they woke Jesus up, he got up. He woke up and came up on the deck. And he just said, peace. be still. The wind stopped blowing.
Come on now.
The waves bowed down. And they found themselves sailing now in peace without a storm. They raised the question to Jesus, you remember? Why couldn't we do that? And Jesus referred to their work of faith. Faith is in you, within you, to move mountains. Stop calling up the pastor late at night when he's sleeping because a storm broke out in your life. You should have the power of God and the faith of God working within you. I said to our congregation some time ago, after I had taught them and trained them in proper times to call the pastor, I couldn't have said this to them early on, else I probably wouldn't be there for 40 years. But I said to them, now that you know what you know, I says, if mama died at 2 a.m. in the morning, I said, don't call me. I said, because she'll still be dead at 9. So call me at 9 a.m. And I'll be there quicker than right now, sooner than later. They said, at first, Pastor, that sounds a little cold, is it? You're supposed to have the power of God working within you. You shouldn't have to make a phone call whenever you get in distress. You can work it out. Tell somebody, you can work it out. Tell somebody, matter of fact, me and Jesus, we got a good thing going. And me and Jesus, we can work it out. So Paul says, for this gospel is foolishness to others, but to us, it is the power of God. Oh, yes. This hope in Jesus is rooted in reality. This hope in Jesus in the Christian life, we're not dealing here merely with ideas. We're not dealing here with theology. We're not dealing here with theory. We're not even dealing here with doctrine, but we are dealing with a real person, Jesus the Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Paul says, I'm remembering, without ceasing, your faith. I'm remembering without ceasing your work of love. I'm remembering without ceasing your patience of hope. And I stand today to tell my good friend, Dr. Ricky Freeman, not only is God remembering your work of faith, not only is God remembering your work of love and your work of patience, but I want you to know that I took note personally of your work of faith. He is a man of faith, and he walks by faith, and he works in faith, and he works in the labor of love. And new Ebenezer, you ought to be thankful to God that you have a man who is rooted in the word of God. I'm remembering, not just since you've been here these 11 years at Ebenezer, but I've been knowing you for 30 plus years, and I've always visualized you walking in faith, walking in love, and laboring with patience and hope. How could he do this for 11 years, a total of almost 40 years of pastoring? How could he do this? I know everything has not been smooth and honey going in the church ministry. I know that. How did you make it? And how did you get through the lonely dark nights? You got through it because your soul had been anchored in the word of the Lord. And whenever you get discouraged, the word of God, it will encourage you. I'm glad that you have something, and we have something on the inside of us that helps us to stay focused. What's on the inside is the Parakletos, and the Parakletos is is the word of God. But then when I come up against the obstacles of life, the parakletos become the paraclete. And the paraclete is one who walks beside you. I don't know about anybody up in here. But life gets rough sometimes. Burdens get heavy sometimes. The days become dark and dismal sometimes. But thank God for the paraclete. He comes along a side of us and he helps us to carry our burdens. What God does not do versus how much we pray for him to do, he does not take away our burdens, but he gives us strength to bear underneath our burdens. That came clear to me a few years ago when my wife and I traveled. I traveled with one bag, and my wife traveled with about five. And so here I am going through the airport early on, and I got all five of her bags strapped on me. And she was walking through the airport as free as she wanted to walk. And I said, something is wrong with this picture, Zanotti. Something is wrong with this picture. I'm burdened down with all of these bags. When I get to the check-in station, they asking me questions. I say, give me a minute. I need to catch my breath. But then I discovered that I hadn't been to the store lately. But when I went to the store, JCPenney's it was, and I went to the luggage department, and I saw that they had luggages with wheels on them. And I traded in my old set for the new set. And now my wife, she don't pack any less. She still packed five bags. But the burden has been lifted. I'm rolling the burden through the airport now. I don't have to carry. And that's what God does for us when we work the work of faith, when we labor in love, and when we labor in the patience of hope. God doesn't take away the burdens, but he makes the burdens lighter. So keep on, my brother, working the work of faith. Keep on, my brother, working the labor of love. Keep on, my brother, working the patience of hope. And at that time, all that has been accomplished under his leadership has been accomplished here at Ebenezer because of a spiritual leadership team. And when you have a leader, spiritual leadership team, somebody has to be at the helm. You all got a big ship that you sail in here that's called Ebenezer. And somebody has to be at the helm. And you thank God for the man of God that you have at the helm of the ship. And even though you got a word man at the helm, it does not eliminate, you don't bypass the storms of life. But what I've learned about a big ship is when they get into a storm, when they get in, the captain lowers the anchor. And you know the anchors are just those little small components on a large ship. But I discovered that the anchor does not control the ship, but the anchor slows the ship down. Thank God that he knows when to slow the ship down, because you are anchored in the word of God. Ebenezer, you have sailed rough seas. You have navigated by spiritual leadership, sometimes moving fast and sometimes moving slow, sometimes not moving at all. But God knows when and how to slow your ship down. Is there anybody here today that is anchored, whose soul is anchored? Maybe you don't have the answers to the questions in your life, but your soul is anchored. You may be like a Job that conflict and trouble have broke out in your life, and maybe it don't seem like God is nowhere to be found. He's not listening to you. He's not answering your call. But one thing Job didn't know, that he knew that his Redeemer lived. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. One thing for sure that all of us need to know beyond a reasonable doubt is that God lives. So my brothers and sisters, keep on keeping on. We serve a God who is able. Somebody know he is able. My soul is anchored in the word of the Lord. And I close by reminding you of the song that the choir sang, the congregation sang earlier. My search for hope through escapism is not going to work. My escape for hope through diversion is not going to work. But brothers and sisters, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds beneath the veil. When Christ shall come, yes, with trumpet sound, all day though I may in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Good afternoon, Ebenezer. It was good to be here one more time. Thank God for letting me share this piece of bread with you. But I leave today hoping that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If you're anchored in him, won't he hold you? If you're anchored in him, won't he keep you? If you're anchored in him, won't he help you? Yes, he will, because he has the power. I said he has the power. Yeah. One Friday, you know he died on a hill called Calvary. One Friday, he marched up the road of Dolorosa. One Friday, he laid on that old rugged cross. One Friday, they hung him high and they dropped him low. One Friday, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And you know what he did, y'all. You know what he did, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, I know what he did. He died. Yes, he did. But he died on a hill called Calvary. And you know what they did? They took his body down from the cross and put it in Joseph Barber's tomb. Stayed there all night Friday. Y'all know he did it. Stayed there all day Saturday and all night Saturday night. But y'all know what happened. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And I don't know about you, I'm not worried about dying when this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. I have another building not made with hands. When I die, one day I'm gonna get up again. Have I got a witness with the same power that the Lord Jesus got up with. Work the work of faith. Work the work of love. Labor in it. Labor in it. It's not easy to love people. That's why you have to labor in doing so. And then work the work of patience in hope. May God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer.
That message is for someone here this morning who has come seeking to hear and to know that Christ. You've come to know that your faith can be anchored in hope, faith, and love. And if that is you this morning, if you are searching for that love, if you are searching for something to be anchored in, if you're searching for a marker that will bring you back to the faith, would you come down the aisles as our deacons, ushers, and greeters come? We stand now together, Ebenezer, as we extend the invitation to Christ. Give our speaker another big round of applause.